You're listening to Confidence on the Go, your go-to podcast for motivation, inspiration, and confidence to help you boldly and bravely take action in your pursuit of living life to the fullest. I'm your host, confidence coach and personal trainer, Trish Blackwell, and it's my absolute honor and pleasure to spend some time with you each week to celebrate this beautiful thing called life. Hey guys, it's Trish, and you are listening to Confidence on the Go. We are in episode number 158. I want to welcome any new listeners to the show. I want to give a big virtual hug to all y'all who have come back, and you guys, a special thank you to everybody who was instrumental this past week in helping me just celebrate and launch my newest book, Insecurity Detox. You guys were amazing. Everyone who showed up to the launch party was amazing. Everyone who has written reviews on Amazon or Goodreads or Barnes & Noble. Y'all, I cannot express my thanks. It's like a giant, just big bear hug for me when you do those things. So y'all, thank you. It's been an amazing week. Really, really excited. And I was so honored to get to share with you guys that you are the community. We are the Be More movement, a movement about being more of who we're meant to be and who we can be and who God has purposed us to be so that we can leave the mark on the world that I really believe is intended for us to leave. I don't think there's any coincidences in life. I think everyone you meet for a reason. And every person whose life you have the opportunity to touch is a reason and an opportunity and a gift. And so I want us to rise to the occasion to be the best that we can be. And we do that together here on the show every week in our mind, our movement, and our meaning. I'm also really excited. I just found out the other day that this show was listed by the Psychology of Eating website's top 25 best personal development podcasts of 2015. You guys, if you haven't seen that on my Facebook feed, I'm super excited. Just so honored to be included in that list. The other people on the list are amazing, and they love a lot of their shows. And a couple of them, I don't know their shows yet, but I'm so excited for a new resource. So I'm going to make sure you guys get a copy of that. If you're on my email list, you'll see. Because hey, it's a great celebration for this Be More movement, but it's also a great resource because there are 24 other really amazing personal development go-getter podcasts out there that I'm going to recommend because they were recommended to me. So make sure you check that list out. I'll be sharing it via email. Don't miss being on my email list. So you can get on that at trishblackwell.com. But let's get into what we're going to be talking about today. Today, in honor of the week of the Boston Marathon, which was yesterday, we are talking about how to run your own race. Okay, now, little secret insider, I'm pre-recording this. My husband and I are about to, throw the baby in the car and we're driving up to Boston. Well, actually, when I'm done recording this. So at this point, I don't know how Boston went for me. I'm running it on Monday. Y'all should be listening to this on Tuesday. So you obviously will get a live feed on Instagram and on Facebook, which you can get at Trish. It's Instagram is Trish_Blackwell, and my Facebook is Trish Blackwell Fitness. So, here's the full disclosure. I'm pre-recording this, but I am obviously thinking about racing and preparing in Boston, and I just thought it was really an apt time to be talking about how to run your own race. Because let's face it, I'm going to be up there with 30,000 other people who have qualified for this race, people who are competitive runners, and it's very easy to lose sight of your own purpose and your own goals if you spend too much time looking around or if you get upset or discouraged if somebody passes you. So what I'm specifically going to be sharing with you guys is how after, decades of really not running my own race, I really have learned to change the way I think. And then why running your own race can be such a challenge, I think, really day in and day out, why we end up being so susceptible to getting really pulled into this trap of comparison. We talk about comparison a lot, but it's a topic that is, it's in our lives a lot. I think we need to be talking about it a lot. And then I'm going to really close the episode out with five strategic ways to really help you start running your own race. And so I hope that's going to be of help and service for you today. As we get started, I want to give a quick shout out to and hello to my Keep the Faith listeners out there. Thanks for being, a part of this extension of the community of contagious encouragement. And I also want to share with you guys that from a sponsorship note, I'm very proud to be an educator and consultant for Beauty Counter. We're a B Corp company on a mission to get safer hands in the products of everyone. And the lack of regulation in the personal care and cosmetic industry is astounding. And it's not just shocking, it's harmful to our health in very, very serious ways. And y'all, I'm going to be frank with you. We need more voices to join up in our mission. If you want to put your passion to purpose while being generously compensated, then I'd love to start a conversation with you about what it means to be involved in the safer beauty tribe that is Beauty Counter. And you can look at Beauty Counter at beautycounter.com/Trish Blackwell. But I invite you to join the movement of better beauty, and to continue this conversation with me, just message me or email me to make your voice really resonate for a change. And my email is trish@trishblackwell.com. Okay, let's get the content, right? So why is it that we struggle to run our own races? I can't speak for everyone, but I certainly can speak for myself. And I know for years, I want to say most of my life, I struggled to run my own race, just, you know, literally and metaphorically. And I, you know, as an athlete, you know, growing up as this highly competitive swimmer, I self-sabotaged my athletic performance in the pool at swim meets really when I started becoming, you know, obsessed with the competition. Like, I can remember a very distinct turning point when I was, you know, up until the age of about 12, I would go to the start blocks and I had this confidence of like, this is my race. I'd get in and I'd win it. If I didn't win it, I knew what I was going to get. I went in and for the pure joy of seeing how fast could I move my body in the water. That's really what it was. How fast could I move my body in the water? And if somebody was in front of me and I could see them, maybe that I could see the flutter of their kick, right? The churn of the water, and I could see in front of me. I went, oh my gosh, they're in front of me. Let me see if I can catch them. And it was a game, right? It was so fun for me to pursue someone who was better than me. And then rather than over being worried about where they were in comparison to me, I went, oh, they're where I want to be. Let me go get them. And I would just dig in and do it. And then the turning point happened when I was like, once I was 12, I started overthinking. I put a lot of pressure on myself. I started thinking, well, I can't not win. Or that person's in front of me. And I would think, oh, they're too far. Oh, shoot, they're inching away. Ah, oh, this is so hard. I can't keep up. What happened essentially is my internal dialogue about the same scenario changed. And as a result, I had completely different outcomes. I mean, it's not surprising, but I wish I knew then what I know now. Before I really started worrying about other people, I raced for myself. I raced to have fun. I raced, to run my own race. And when I started worrying about where other people were in comparison to me, and what that would mean and what people might think if I lost or if I was losing. And when my value started being attached to my performance, that's when running my own race became a problem. Because before, I knew that I was valuable. I knew God loved me. I knew Jesus loved me. And I knew that I was just out there having fun. And so I ran my own race. But then when I started trying to earn my worth by proving myself, I wanted to prove myself. Then that's when bad things started happening. And you guys, I actually remember being at a swim meet at around the age 14, 15. And, at this point I had a couple number of years on a state level and a national level where most of the people in my age group that were competing knew my name. And, I was struggling. I was mid eating disorder. I was overthinking every race. I was slowing down. My 10-year-old times, I was faster as a 10-year-old than I was as a 14-year-old. So I remember being at this big state championship meet. And, think they were usually held at these like major universities with beautiful pools. And so the locker rooms were just ginormous. And I was, you kind of at a swim meet, you live in your bathing suit, but you got all these sweats and parkas. And so I had taken off all my clothes to go use the bathroom. And while I was in the stall, I heard, and I think it was after a race, I heard two girls, who had just gotten out of the bathroom, washing their hands and snickering to each other with excitement. Can you believe I just beat Trish Blackwell? Can you believe it? And then all the chat, and there was like a 5-minute conversation, and I just stayed in that stall. I didn't have the courage to step out. I didn't have the courage to say, hey, yeah, you guys had a great race. Instead, I let it eat at me. I let it seep into my bones. And then it made my ability to run my own race and stay in my own lane even more challenging. And here's the problem. The problem is from me being worried about what other people might be thinking about me, what other people might be thinking about where I am in my own lane compared to theirs, that when you're watching what people are doing, you lose sight of what you are doing. And so before I knew it, I was no longer, like, I used to be that person in the pool that people wanted me to beat. And then I lost that. And so it basically, in essence, in trying to swim everyone's own race, I lost my own. And so what are the results from my own personal story, like particularly with swimming, of not being able to swim my own lane? I would say, well, you know, and let me expand upon that, because the metaphorical side of me not staying in my own lane of life is this whole time. I mean, we're talking adolescence and teens and the early years of college, of being very consumed about what other people might think of me. Am I well-liked? Am I well-accepted? Am I enough? Am I adequate? Am I enough? Am I enough? Am I enough? Perfectionism driving me all the way. And so anytime I was coming at anything from a perfectionistic standpoint is this desire to prove myself, like, let me show you, right? You guys, the results were that it took me out of my own race. I was so obsessed about other people's races and lanes. And when you worry about the opinion of someone else, that takes you out of your lane as well, because you're putting yourself in their lane of life. We don't have the ability to control what people think about us. So why do we spend so much time, and I'm asking myself this question too, why do we belabor the point of worrying about it, of something that we have absolutely no control over? So the results of me, when I think back in reflection of not swimming in my own lane, not walking in my own lane of life, not just trusting my own path and trusting that what God has intended for me, or compromised athletic performance and career, like I self-sabotaged significantly. The results of this not running my own race were a decade-long eating disorder and anxiety and addiction. I'll tell you also, you guys, 2 years of engaged in a toxic, abusive relationship because of the status. I stayed in an unhealthy, abusive, drug-centric relationship with a drug addict, because he was beautiful and he was a model and everybody thought, wow, she's with him. You know, I cared what people thought. And I almost died of a broken spirit because of him. Also for me, like, results were limited dreams and goals. Really 3 years of waste. 3 years, I can look at 3 years of my life that I wasted partying and just trying to fit in and trying to be cool and well-liked. And yeah, just this not living my lane, not doing anything that was, you know, had to do with my own race, just doing it for other people's opinions and to fit in. And the limited dreams, you guys, was really something I would have not realized or attributed to not staying in my own lane. But when you're not running your own race and you're looking around what other people are doing, well, then your measuring stick becomes, what are other people doing? And so if you're only surrounding yourself with people who are kind of just doing life on a surviving level. They're not necessarily investing in personal development. They're not investing in their own family, you know, legacy and growth. They're just kind of getting the grind, right? Well, if you're surrounding yourself with those people, you're not going to realize that what's really possible for you. So when I started realizing, like, who am I surrounding myself with? How can I elevate my attitude and the altitude of my dreams and goals? Well, I got to start running my own race for sure, but I also got to start being around people who are running theirs and realize that I'm not going to run theirs, but I'm inspired by the way that they do theirs. Like, I want to be around people who inspire me. So, and then for me also, the another result of not running my own race was really the pressure and narcissistic desire to prove my worth by being better than others. And, you know, it really, this, when I was in this desire to, like, let me prove myself to you, right? I can do it. Anxiety was this result. It ensued anxiety because I felt like whenever I didn't measure up, I it was this overwhelm failure sense. And I realized there would, I had to come to this reconciliation of like, what do you do when you realize, or even if you don't fail, you succeed, it's your dream. You realize no matter what, you guys, like, there's always gonna be someone smarter. There's always gonna be somebody better. There's always gonna be somebody richer. There's always gonna be somebody prettier. There's always gonna be somebody that, I mean, you fill in the blank. When you play the comparison game, there's always gonna be someone else. And that's why the comparison game doesn't work. That's why you can't do it. You've got to get out of doing that and get into your own lane. And so, you know, I thought about this. I know it's not just for me, but the question leads, it begs to for us to talk about this from a perspective of why is this so tough for us, right? Why is running our race so tough for us? And I got three reasons I jotted down that I think for me at least made it tough. I think one, culturally, we were raised to compare ourselves to one another. We compare grades, we compare clothes, we compare successes, we compare ideas, we compare experiences. We compare when we share, but sometimes we share to elevate ourselves. And my personal challenge to myself is when I'm sharing stories, when I'm telling, you know, connecting with the people I love and doing experiences, that I'm always sharing to celebrate, not sharing with one-upmanship, not sharing with, oh, like, look at us, how lucky. Like, it's such a small difference, you guys, but if we're going to start kicking the status quo in its teeth, like, we got to start shaking up what's not okay. And it's not okay that our children are getting raised in schools and environments where it's constant competition and constant one-upping and everything is, there's a comparison in some way all the time. And I know firsthand what that felt like. I don't want that for my daughter. I don't want anybody to compare Ellie to anyone else. And if you think of it from that perspective, you realize just how far gone we are as a society. So great. So how does it change? It starts with you, right? So the little changes you do and breaking that comparison really makes a difference. Number two, I really think we've learned to use comparison as a coping mechanism. So I think, like, we think, oh, this is just how I think, but I really believe it's a coping mechanism that I don't think we need to hold on to. Because you here's the thing, somewhere along the way, we learned that comparing ourselves to someone else, either putting that person down in comparison to ourselves or maybe building ourselves up as a result was really a way to boost our own self-esteem and to feel better about ourselves. So it's not pretty. Like, let's just call it what it is. Like, I know if I'm comparing myself to someone else to build myself up, like, I need to be praying more. Like, that's when I need to fall to my knees and go, Lord, like, this is some ugliness in my heart. I don't ever want to find that. And, like, I'm going to be honest, you guys, this is a reality I think we all experience on a daily basis. That means that I need to be on my knees daily, praying through this idea of, and meditating and journaling about it, of like, I don't ever want to build myself up and elevate myself compared to someone else to make myself feel better about my own insecurities. What vanity, you know? And so the answer to that for me is prayer. For you, it might be journaling and meditating. But I challenge you, whatever your method to approach that and tackle it, my challenge to you is that you acknowledge it as a coping mechanism and you acknowledge it as some ugliness in your heart that can be beautified. And I really do believe it can be beautified. I believe we are works in process, in progress. I know God's not done with me. There's a lot of work to do on my heart, but I'm grateful. Look, I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I was yesterday, right? Like, that's where we got to keep going back to. And the third reason I think that running our own race can be so tough is I know from a firsthand perspective that it can be tough to trust yourself. Like, even though we all know, like, all right, we know the story of the tortoise and the hare. We know that, you know, slow and steady wins the race. Like, we know that, like, we are our own speed for a reason. We don't always internalize that, the moral of that story, very well. We're always worried about where we are in life in approximation to our age and to others and to our age bracket and our socioeconomic bracket and our income bracket and our political standings and viewpoints. And, you know, here's the thing. The other adage that we're also familiar with is that we know that we're meant to run our races. Like, it's almost like blasé. We've overheard it so much that it's lost its significance. And the problem is that we don't trust ourselves well enough to know that the path that we're walking or racing along is actually the path that we're meant to be traveling. And I, you know, as I'm approaching Boston and preparing for a race, I'm able to firsthand, this is one reason I love running and athletics so much. I'm able to firsthand, it's this like microcosmic approach to, I think, my greater walk in life. I've had great coaching. Megan Filno has been this amazing coach. If you need a coach, you need to go hit her up, filnocoaching.com. Amazing training program. I've had a 16-week intense Boston training program, running anywhere between 15 to 60 miles a week with some hard, hard, hard workouts. Like, Megan is awesome, and she has made me faster, and she's helped me. She's coached me mentally. She's prepared me with you know, affirmations and my whole nutrition plan for the week. I'm set for Boston, y'all. But I'll tell you what, it's still, you get up to that start line and you have to trust the training. Like, I have to go into a race and I can't overthink it. I can't think, oh, I hope I trained. Like, I've done all the hard work. The race itself is cake. You're doing the hard work of your internal growth and your self-reflection and your journaling. The actual walking out of your life, walking it out, living it out, is like me approaching the start of the Boston Marathon and starting those first steps. And you know what? There's going to be moments in the race where I'm thinking, gosh, 26 miles is long, or man, this is a tough hill. But there's going to be times that, like, when's that finish line coming, right? Like, I hope I'm going the right way, or I hope I'm going the right pace. Like, there's a certain amount of trust. Like, once I lock into my goal race pace, I'm going to have to overcome some of the thoughts that I'm going to have that say, gosh, Trish, do you think you can hold this? Can you hold this pace? Can you hold this pace? You've got, what, 12 more miles. Can you still hold this pace? And the answer is yes, because I can trust my body. I trust my body because I trust my training. I trust my training because I trust my coach. So you see how it works. So I'm able to overcome some of my lack of trust, some of the self-talk that's probably going to surface, because that's normal and natural. And I'm going to say, no way. You know, I'm going to combat that with confidence by saying, yeah, absolutely. I'm strong. I'm capable. And I trust myself. And I'm here to celebrate. This is running out my own race. And furthermore, like we already said, I trust my training and I trust my coach. My coach wrote my training. My coach told me I can do this. The same thing goes for your life. God is your coach. God's training is I really think the circumstances of our life that we think tear us up, that we really have to go through these major growths, that God is really just pruning us and growing us. He's carrying us to a place for a reason. So when you're walking through your own race of life, and if you're wondering, man, can I keep this on? Can I keep going? I want you to go back and think about yourself the same way I would be thinking in the Boston Marathon. Do I trust myself? Do I trust that I'm strong and that God has given me great strength, that I can, I've put the work into changing my attitude and choosing the good things and truth? And then also, do I trust the training that my coach has been put me on? And do I trust my coach's confidence in me, his confidence in me? Well, yeah. Yeah, because he's God, and he made you, and he's walking alongside you as you run your race. So that's just how I'm going to approach Boston. It's how I want to approach my life and going, do I trust? It's hard to trust yourself, but that's okay. I don't have to trust myself fully. I have to trust myself in some ways. I have to say, yes, I can do this. But I trust the person who cares the most about me, my coach. My coach in heaven, the one who is laying out the path. So when you're not sure, you guys keep walking, keep pursuing that path, and know that it's normal to kind of second guess and second doubt, and have some self doubts, but don't look around, don't compare yourself to anyone else. Trust the plan that is written for you from above. So here are the five ways that I want to give you that you can run your own race, right? Here are some daily practical action items that you can do. Number one, don't beat yourself up, okay? Let me give a list of five, and I'll go just say a couple sentences about each here that I have for you. So don't beat yourself up. Number two, have a morning mantra. Number three, be aware of your vocabulary. Number four, know your uniqueness. And number five, have more fun. So here's how it goes. Number one, don't beat yourself up. I want you to know that, like, we've been talking this whole episode, you're going to be tempted to look around and compare yourself to others. Like, that's just part of our brain chemistry. That is, like, a part of what it is to be human. So let's not beat ourselves up for it. Don't be surprised when you're tempted to engage in these, you know, comparison thoughts. But be celebratory and be excited to stop them. Be proud of yourself when you do catch a comparing thought and say, whoa, 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 why am I doing that? Like, that's ugly heart. I want a beautiful heart. I'm just going to stop. I'm going to disengage right now. And if you do find yourself maybe going down the rabbit hole of kind of like a comparison trap, like, the best way to get out of it is to not beat yourself up. Because if we beat ourselves up and we think, oh, all of a sudden, I find at least when people beat themselves up, more comparison comes in. Oh, I bet so-and-so wouldn't be thinking this. They're so nice. They're so lovely. They're not like me. They have we've got to let it go sometimes, guys. We've got to not beat ourselves up. Having a morning mantra, number two, the second way to really start running your own race, it really reminds you of your truth and purpose every day. My morning mantra is the one I wrote for my daughter and the one that she and I recite together every morning. It is, I am beautiful. I am loved by God. I am loved by my family. And today, I will love others. That's my compass for the day. It's my compass for life. And it really helps me. I really think it saves me from 50% of my comparison temptations throughout the day. Because it tells me the truth that I need to know. My third one is that a way to really run your own race is to be very aware of your own vocabulary. And I actually want to share a little adage here. I was recently watching, my husband and I are watching Crossing Lines on Netflix, and it's a little bit of an old show, but we're enjoying it. And there's an actress that reminded me of another actress. And I said, gosh, she's like so-and-so, but so-and-so's a little bit prettier than her. And I was like aghast. Like, I stopped everything I did. I stopped our show and I said, whoa, Brandon, did you hear what I just said? And he said, no, you just said so-and-so's prettier than so-and-so. That's fine. I'm like, no, actually, it's not fine. Who am I to have the right to say, well, if I want to get free of comparison thoughts in my own mind, I need to be aware of when I'm saying so-and-so is prettier than her because of this. Like, they're both beautiful women. Why can't I just leave it at that? She's beautiful. Do I have a right to have an opinion? Sure. Everybody has a right to have their own opinion of who they think is more beautiful, more attractive. But why do we have to have a superlative there? Why does there have to be some kind of more? Like, why can't just both be beautiful? They're both beautiful actresses. I mean, stunning. Why is it that in my vocabulary, I had a prettier? She's prettier than so-and-so. Well, it's because of that. Because for 30 years, I've trained myself. I want to be prettier. I need to be prettier. I need this to be whatever IER. You know, we're looking for that more, that one-up, that comparing that one-upmanship. And it was so interesting for me to say, no, I'm not saying it's bad to say so-and-so is prettier than so-and-so. What I'm saying for me, I had this big aha of like, holy cow, I need to be aware of my vocabulary. Here's this, you know, I'm literally just commenting on a Netflix show that I'm watching. And it said, wow, if that's the natural way I'm going to talk about two beautiful women who I actually admire, well, no wonder why I'm still struggling a little bit with running my own race from time to time. So my call to action for you in this is to, well, I want you to, you know, just watch the way you speak about people. Watch the way you think about people. If you want to really start running your own race and living with this freedom, this freedom and fullness, then I think you need to, I just challenge you to say, where are these little slip-ups that have set my mind up to actually not stay in my own lane, right? This is all about not staying in your own lane. How can we keep you to stay in your lane with confidence and joy? That you're connected in this amazing experience of life, that living life to the fullest, living well. Like, I just, I want you to be in love with life. And I don't really believe you can be in love with life unless you're in your own lane. You can't. So then the last two ways, know your own uniqueness. Remind yourself daily that God has a plan for you and that only you can walk it out. You guys, you listening right now, like, you can't be Trish Blackwell. No matter how hard you tried, you couldn't. But here's the thing, you wouldn't want to be me. Because no matter what I do, if I tried to be you, I couldn't do it. I mean, I spent years wanting to be taller. Guess what? Ain't in the books for me. I spent years wishing I had less muscle, wishing I was, more of an ectomorph than a mesomorph. That's just not in the books for me. It's not how God made me. So know that you are unique, and that's for a reason. And it's, sometimes you just have to say, just accept it. Take ownership. And now the fifth, this is my favorite way to really run your own race. And I'm going to credit my dear, dear friend, Mo Nunez, who is one of the wisest souls I know. She's been on the show way back when. She's just amazing. But here's what happened. She and I were talking on, we were FaceTiming the other week. And it was just a couple minute conversation. And she hung up, and it was like a Tuesday, right? Like, and she hung up and she said, "Hey, cool. All right, love you. Have fun today." And that was it. And I went, "Oh my gosh, you're genius. Like, do you know how genius that is? Like, on a Tuesday, you enthusiastically finish our phone conversation by saying, "Hey, have fun." Like, whatever, like, I'm not going to amusement park today. Like, you know, I'm like, it wasn't like a Saturday where she's like, "Oh my gosh, our race. Hey, have fun today." Like, that those are the more often when I hear those statements. There aren't many people in my life that say, "Hey, Trish, it's Wednesday. Have fun today. Have fun. Like, have fun going to the library. Have fun going to the gym. Have fun going to the grocery store." But I'll tell you what, knowing Mo, like, that's how Mo lives. And if you guys have my newest book, Insecurity Detox, there's a chapter on Mo. Oh, I wish I could tell you. It's in like 27, 28, or 29. I don't have my book in front of me, but now, like, this is the same Mo. This is this, and in fact, the chapter's on how to be in love with life. And so I think we can be in love with our lives when we live in our own lanes. And one way to live in your lane is to have more fun. And what I would challenge you, like, instead of finishing your conversations by saying, "Hey, have a good day." Like, that's what I would have said. "Hey, have fun today. Hey, have fun today. Hey, go love life today." That's my challenge to you guys. You guys, we're going to close out with a listener of the episode. This listener of the episode is, we've got Mariah Christofferson, and she was awesome. She hung out at the virtual party with us. So thank you for that, chica. Here's what she said. She said, "Trish, thanks for sending the guidebook. I can't believe I actually got a live response via email. That's impressive. I have to tell you, I absolutely love your show and everything you stand for. It's helped me so much to get through the slump I've been experiencing the last few weeks. And I found your motivation to do better within all aspects of my life. And it started about 2 weeks ago when I was driving back from Arizona to Utah. You inspired me and created a desire to do better. I think the best thing about your show is the honest information you provide to people. You don't sugarcoat anything, and that's something I greatly appreciate. You tell it like it is while providing encouragement and uplifting insights to make the hard truth a little easier to hear. And so many of us need to hear it. I've enjoyed the chance to have a positive thought each day. I started at the beginning of your show, and I'm listening to the messages and topics you shared for the last few years. It's so fun to see your growth and development as a podcaster and coach. Thank you for having a strong talent for teaching self-improvement and confidence. You're truly making a difference in the world through one listener at a time." Mariah, emails like this, these are the ones, like, you guys, I saved these. Like, these go in a special spot on my computer because I'm just like you. I need that that encouragement, and I need the community reach. I need to know that what I'm doing in the heart and love I'm pouring into the show, well, that it's resonating with you. So that, thank you from the bottom of my heart. And Mariah, I wanted to highlight you as listener to the episode for a couple of reasons. I love, number one, that you had this aha of like, whoa, I can do better. I can be more. Like, that you just, in a short period of time, realized there's so much more that you, God has planned for you. And I think that's beautiful. I also, Mariah, love that you highlighted that you guys, if you're new to the show, if you just found this, maybe you found this from the Psychology of Eating websites list, or maybe from Keep the Faith. I have, well, we're at number, 158. This is episode number 158. So there are 158 episodes for you to listen to. And if you, for some reason, can't access them in iTunes or in Stitcher Radio, you can get them the entire archive of my podcasts on my webpage at trishblackwell.com/podcasts. So check those out. And then also, Mara, thank you for just saying, "Hey, Trish, I see and appreciate your own growth as a podcaster and coach." So that's a beautiful compliment and statement as well. So thank you so much, guys. We're going to close the show out just with two quick announcements. Number one, if you love me, all right, if you love me and you love the show, number one, you're going to buy Insecurity Detox. And number two, the biggest thing you can do to help us, well, inspire more people and get more people to realize that they, you know what, they can detox their insecurity, and they can be confident, and they can run their own race in life, is if you write a review, for this show and if you write a review for my book on Amazon. You guys, it would mean the world. I will love you forever, and I want to thank you in advance. You guys, that's it. I love you. Have an amazing, amazing week, and check out my Boston posts that I'll be posting this week, and I can't wait to connect with you. Oh, how did I forget? Another announcement. I have great news. I've got great news. The hiatus on my other show, the Confident Mom Podcast, is being lifted. So thank you to everybody who's reached out. You guys, honestly, the show became a little bit too challenging to be able to do at the same time as me doing this show during the last couple of months of my book launch. So now that the book is live, I have a little bit more free time. So I'm excited to be able to partition that time to that show. So hopefully, there's no promises, but there's a 90% promise here that you will see a new episode of the Confident Mom Podcast posted this week. And hopefully, from here on out, there should be some weekly episodes. So thank you to everybody who has expressed that interest and said, Trish, we missed the show. What the heck? Where is it? Is it coming back? Was it just a short-term thing? Is it? It's going to continue. It's living on. So thank you guys. And it's because of you guys telling me you cared. So thank you to everyone. All right, guys, go have an amazing day. I love y'all. I'm so honored to get the opportunity to be, that you allow me to be in your ears, like that I get to be a part of your daily life. So thank you for that opportunity and that privilege. And I want you to know I don't take it lightly. Go be more of who you are today. Be you. Be free. Thanks for listening. You can get more confidence resources at trishblackwell.com. If you love the show, let me know. Write a review on iTunes or send me an email at trish@trishblackwell.com. Take your confidence to a new level by downloading my free daily guide to confidence, The Confidence Roadmap. You can grab your free roadmap at trishblackwell.com/roadmap. And you know what? I'm thankful for you. Yes, you. So thanks for being you. Now go share the best of you with the world.